This is what Screw Attack is all about. G1 Attack, it kicks ass. This is Stuttering Craig, and I want to have sweet, sweet love with G1 Attack.
Get ready for G1 Power to the Max, delivered to you in an audio, non-visual format that will make your head explode. Warning, podcast will not actually make your head explode, but does contain 100% of your daily awesomeness and British sex appeal. This is G1 Attack. Hey guys, welcome up to G1 Attack here on ScrewAttack.com, the only podcast by G1s for G1s. I'm your host, Awkward Todd.
I'm French Ben.
And I'm the sex appeal hyper jerk.
Yep, hey, Ben, guys. This is a little different about how we're doing it now. Our third episode, and we're recording it with, less people, 2 to 3. But, how are you guys doing? My, smaller group associates, what's up?
Actually, it's kind of a European strike down here because Hypertext from UK, I'm from France, you, the freaking Yankee here, and, I'm feeling great.
Yeah, it's the international show. We have from all... We have one guy, like, North America, Europe, and an island. Awesome.
Wow. Yeah. Well then.
Anyway, this should be pretty fun. We're gonna go into, the new system, and of course we have all your favorites, like featured blog and video. We got,
French Ben's interview.
Your discussion. Yeah, your interview, of course, your reviews, and a whole bunch of stuff. And also a new thing, Froze by Derek Q, known as G1 Plays. And we'll get into that a little bit later. So, hope you guys enjoy the show, and let's get going.
Alright, so what have you guys been playing recently? I mean, just these few days.
Smash Brothers Brawl!
Playing?
I have been playing Smash Brothers Brawl for the last... let's see, what's the date? It's the 3rd, so I've been playing it for more than a month now, and I haven't played anything else.
Wow.
Damn.
So, I love Brawl that much.
Nice.
Todd?
I haven't really been playing anything that recently. I mean, this stupid stop-motion puppet has eaten up my entire freaking week.
Oh, I can't wait to see that. Actually,
you will be really disappointed, but I hope people enjoy it anyway.
Actually, yeah.
I cannot wait to see the results of this animation competition.
Oh, yeah.
I know myself. I'm entering. You're entering. Ben?
I'm not.
Are you? Okay. And a lot of people I know are entering, like Atrox, Tobatsu, I think.
Jets.
I pronounce it. Jets. Jets. And quite a few people actually. I can't remember all of them, but I know that I've seen quite a few of them so far, and they're awesome.
No way! Can't wait.
May the best type of jerk win.
Hey, wait a minute. Yeah. Well, one thing I have done, and I just want to say, everyone on this podcast already hates me. Already?
Yeah.
So this isn't gonna help me at all. I was at QuakeCon on Friday.
Oh, I hate you.
Yep. And let me just give you a little bit of my experience, because with QuakeCon, first thing is that if you don't BYOC and you don't plan to be in any tournaments, don't go. Because that's basically what happened to me, and within the first, 2 hours, I was already bored as hell.
everybody's playing.
Yeah. I know, everyone's playing, I can't play anything, so I was stuck there the whole day, and I was thinking about, leaving a little bit early, but then, Screw Attack showed up, and it was awesome after that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. So who did you see there?
I saw everybody there, honestly. Everyone except for Nick and Brian. I saw, everyone. I watched them film Hard News. And the best part was Unaware Steve was there, and I got to watch 2 hours of Unaware Steve being Unaware Steve. And let me just say, I mean, when you look at the Unaware Steve segments from past QuakeCons, you think there has to be some sort of process, to get all the shots ready and to get everything lined up. No, all Craig says is Jose,
what?
Ben, take these camera and shoot whatever the hell Unaware Steve does.
Huh.
And they just follow him around
wow.
all day. In fact, once they put up the segments for it, look for me. I'm gonna be wearing a cap, a Screwtech World Tour shirt, and I'm gonna have a backpack on. I'm sure I've been in the shot a lot, because it's totally unpredictable, and we just followed him around with a bunch of other G1s.
For those at the Screwtech HQ who are editing the Unaware Steve segment right now, please remove Todd from every single
Yeah, point. Because he doesn't deserve any fame or whatever.
Well, hey, he interviewed, like, one of the G1s. It was totally made him a stalker. I think, like, Kaiser Man, if I'm saying that right. He posts on the forum a lot.
Anyway, that was fun. I'm freaking jealous right now.
Also to add to my internet fame, there was a documentary that was shown there known as a Frag. I actually did a review on it.
You were on top G1 post. I mean, everybody have seen that, so now shut the fuck up, please.
No. I just want to get my favorite part. So, I was there, and, like, I was gonna see them at AFI Dallas, which is, like, a film festival around here. But then they were here, I was like, oh, cool, so I guess I'll buy the DVD, because I missed it at AFI Dallas. Well, I didn't know they were showing it, so they were like, hey, you just bought our first DVD. We're gonna take a picture of you, and, like, you're gonna be on our front page and stuff like that. Like, cool. You see, everyone hates me. Cool. It's anonymous.
Yeah, we hate you.
Yes.
I'm a little bitch.
You're a lucky bastard. Everything good happens in
Texas. All right, what do we have next?
Except for gas prices. Well,
yes. Next
okay,
topic.
Well, actually, I have a starter question. The starter question this week is, what is the worst thing you've ever done when playing a video game?
While playing a video game?
The worst thing you've ever done, like, to your house, to your family, to your controller, when you've played a video game.
Wow. I don't really know, man. I guess, you know, once I was drinking chocolate milk on the morning, playing, I don't know, maybe it was Super Mario Bros. And I was on, like, a really, you know, a really stuffy pajamas that really absorbs, you know, any kind of liquid. And man, all my milk came on this pajama, and a pajama actually, you know, grown, like two times its size. And it pretty much drank every single drop of my milk, and my mother was so angry about that because I was so excited playing Super Mario Bros. 3, something like that. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, for me, mine's really weird because it was in playing a game, and it was a game that is completely unforgettable. The game sucked, but I really wanted to beat it. It was about something with a monkey. It was some stupid game on the PlayStation 1 that was advertised to me. And I was playing, this boss, and I tried to beat the boss like 100 times, but I kept on dying. I got so pissed off, I took the controller, threw it at my wall, left a dent in my wall, just started screaming around like a kid who's on a sugar rush and crack at the same time. And I got so angry and yelled so much that my parents had to give me like a stress ball that I had to use for a week.
Wow. Retarded. What about you, Ethan?
What? Wow.
You know those stories about breaking your Wiimote, the string between the strap? Yeah. I tried to break it once, and I was like, oh, it's impossible. Because I was actually purposely trying to break it by pulling it and stuff. And I was like, oh, it's not going to break. And then one day while I was playing Wii Sports at like 1 in the morning, I was having this complete losing streak. And I just lashed the controller, and it came, and the strap came flinging out of my hand. I picked it up, and the strap and the Wii disconnected, basically. And I was like, oh god, after all this trying to break it,
damn,
it just
English
breaks
people.
The way that everyone else says it does.
Damn English people. Nice.
Shut up. Oh, Britannia all the way. Sorry, Harry.
Alright, what do we have next?
Okay, next we actually have a dual review. This is going to be interesting. We have both a game review from your one and only Joystick Jerry, but then we also have a movie review of The Dark Knight.
By Dante El Diablo.
Yep, Dante El Diablo, so stay tuned and
enjoy.
Stay tuned.
Hey G1s, this is Dante, and on this segment of Private Screens, we're going to take a look at The Dark Knight. One thing I need to point out before I start with my review of The Dark Knight is that it's going to be entirely spoiler-free, so I won't ruin the movie for you since you need to go see it. And another reason is for French Ben, because he can't see the movie at the moment. And for the next few seconds, we're just going to sit here and laugh at him for that. With all the movies that have been coming out this year, and especially the action movies, The Dark Knight exceeds all expectations that I had. And I'm pretty sure that it'll exceed all expectations that you have as well. The filming, the dialogue, the pace, the somewhat funny parts of the movie really set this apart from any other superhero and action movie out there. In my opinion, The Dark Knight is my favorite superhero movie and is one of the best action movies or one of the best movies I've seen this year. It's not the best movie of all time, but it really is a good flick to watch. First, I need to cover a couple points about the movie that you need to know first before you even go watch it. A lot of people are saying that the movie is too long and they need to cut around 20 to 30 minutes off of it, but if you really cut off the 20 or 30 minutes that they're talking about, you won't get the full experience that The Dark Knight really gives. Also, a lot of people are saying that the Joker, portrayed by Heath Ledger, is one of the best Jokers out there, and in my opinion, it really is one of his best roles, and it's one of the best movie villains, or villains that I've seen ever. The way he acts, you really do not see Heath Ledger as you watch this movie. Also, some people are saying that the movie is too dark or too depressing, that they don't want to go see it, or you should stray away from the movie due to that. And really, in my opinion, the movie isn't that dark at all. It's the way the Joker is played throughout the movie, and that's how you get that feeling that continues throughout the entire film. This feeling and this atmosphere that the Joker creates really gives a kind of trapped atmosphere where you think something's always going to happen, but when you think it's going to happen, it really doesn't, and it catches you off guard. Some of these parts in the movie are really, like, should be in maybe horror films, and that's what's really nice about what the Joker adds and how Christopher Nolan really set these parts out through the movie to add, like, that feeling. If you haven't already saw this movie, I highly recommend that you do. And once you walk out of the movie theater, you really feel like you're going to go beat someone's ass for mugging an old lady.
Hey there, G1s! This is Joystick Jerry bringing for another retro game review. And I'm going to take you back to the Sega Genesis. Why? Because there's this awesome game called Alien Soldier. You may have heard of it, and you may not have heard of it. That's because the original release was in Japan and Europe only in 1995. Great! There's a chance to get this game on the Virtual Console for the Wii. Alien Soldier is made by Treasure, the company behind Guardian Heroes, Ikaruga, and Gunstar Heroes. There are five main characters in this game. Epsilon Eagle, the protagonist and playable character. Epsilon Eagle is the member of a genetically engineered race capable of parasitic coexisting with machinery and animals. Exile Tiger was a senior member of Scarlet and took command of the organization after Epsilon Eagle has been ousted, but quickly became unpopular as a leader. Epsilon 1, inferred to be Epsilon's evil twin. Although they do not resemble each other except that they both have bird features, appears only once as a giant mechanical eagle with laser cannon wings. 7 Force Kane, mysterious human Scarlet host encountered on level 20. Actually, she is said to be the girl that was killed by Exile Tiger. Z Leo, the final boss. Z Leo is a massive, well-armed, anthropomorphic cyborg lion. He has a cannon for a left arm, mechanical claw for the right, and a twin laser cannons on his back. Alien Soldier is a unique side-scroller among other side-scroller games. Most side-scroller games have long levels and a lot of enemies, where Alien Soldier has very short levels and very easy to reach the bosses. It has 25 levels and 31 bosses in the game. It only has two difficulties, super easy and super hard. The top of the screen is dominated by status bars, which gives you information about the player current and maximum health. The current and maximum energy of the selected weapon and the current and maximum health of the boss of the stage. But there is one thing I don't like about this game. It's not like Mega Man where you can run and shoot, but every time that you shoot, you must stand still. But while you're standing still, you can aim in any direction you want, easily attacking enemies while they come for you. At the beginning of the game, you have four choices of the type of guns to choose from, and the type of status bar that you would like to choose. So far, the game sounds really amazing. If you're into side-scrolling shooters, I would definitely check out this game. For my already from experience of playing the game, I would give it an 8.5 overall due to the awesomeness of this game. So this has been another retro game review. Now back to you, Todd.
Oh yes. Hey guys, it's time for the featured blog and video of the week.
Get ready for some sweet content by some awesome G1s here on G1 Attack's featured blog and video. Stay tuned.
This week's video is Taco Man Plays Mega Man for the NES. Yes, by Ebola World. You might have seen a Taco Man video on the featured G1 submission a while ago. Yes, this person is awesome. The videos are quite nice. I've been watching a few of his Taco Man things and also his messed up Bible stories, which are absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, I gotta serious. Check it out, yeah.
You do. Look it up on either YouTube or on Screw Attack. You just search for Ebola World, yeah?
Okay.
You will find this awesome stuff.
Yeah.
He definitely has He's been doing it for years.
I saw the G1 submission, and that was so hilarious. I mean, and it was like really, you know, in terms of quality and time and effort put into G1 submission, I really think it was one of the highest rated G1 submission ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
The way he reviews it is actually quite clever. I mean, it's one thing to review a game in such an awesome way, but he does it in character of his Taco Man cartoon character, which I find it quite fun.
But
being an animator myself, I can relate. Yeah. It's kind of cool. Yeah. So what's this week's blog, Todd?
Well, this week's blog is a very interesting one. It's actually pretty recent. Like, I just found it this morning. And it's called my boyfriend broke up with me for playing Counter-Strike. If I'm saying that right. And you see, this would be a run-of-the-mill story if it was Switch. It said my girlfriend broke up with me, but this is really different because it's not just about the story about this girl who plays too much Counter-Strike that his boyfriend breaks up with her. I love this story because this story is a girl who basically says, "Hey, I love the hell out of video games, and I pick games over, like, my passion over guys."
Yeah, right on. That's awesome.
Which I can respect. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, to me, like, the whole love thing, it's like, okay, if you find a person who is really that much better than, you know, even your passion, if you think, wow, I'd rather spend time with this person than play Counter-Strike, then, you know, that's the person for you. But if you really don't feel that, then,
yeah, but
you know.
Actually, I have, you know, I have an advice to give this girl. It's like, you know, I got a fiancé myself, and, you know, we don't have this kind of problem because, you know, I'm addicted, and, you know, my advice is get someone as much addicted as you are, so, because then, you know, you won't feel, like, torn apart between, man, why does this guy want to go out and not just play with me? If you find someone who has the same passion as you, it's going to be a whole much better. So, I mean, you're still young, you still have time, but... girl, yeah, no, keep trying searching for the perfect nerdy guy who won't get enough of playing video games.
Yeah, well, I mean, I agree with that, but then I also can attest to that. If you never find that person, don't feel like you have to. I mean, you know, some people just don't get together, and that's totally cool.
But in the meantime, she can always keep her title as the best Counter-Strike player in Greece.
Yep, that is totally true. So, Rita, it's really interesting, and I really do like how it does relate, like, I don't know, love and video gaming.
Yeah.
Yep. So, this was written by, Talena? Is that how you say it?
Talena? Yeah. Sorry if we... I think it's basically proven that we screw up everyone's name on this thing.
It's because everyone comes up with such weird names for us.
Yeah.
They called themselves Bob or Mike, then it would be fine, but hell yeah. But I like seeing these kind
of... What the hell kind of internet, like, handle is that? Bob.
Bob. Well, it can be a good name, Bob.
Secret agent.
After
Bob.
Shut up. Bob. I don't know. But anyway, this blog was awesome. I had a fun time reading it.
Actually. What do we have next?
Nice. Next, we have some form activity, which was given to us by Gaming Sean. Now, I want to get a little thing about Gaming Sean. Now, as you heard with Screw Penguin, he has some trouble with like mic problems, stuff like that. But I think we found a really good thing for him. Because he's on the form so much. That he is basically going to be our forum reporter, which is awesome, because he gave me some really cool, fun topics that are going on that you guys may not know. First of all, we talked about this earlier, the G1 Nintendo Club.
What is it?
Oh?
Well, it's just a club for people who like Nintendo, I guess, but, you see, I don't get it, because isn't there basically a section of the actual forum
Nintendo,
devoted
yeah.
to this exact... Yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing I've got to say, there's a lot of groups popping up, and have you ever seen many of these groups?
I know the Mega
much?
Man group.
Yeah.
I mean, we got awesome groups like the Sages, who do like activities every now and then for the G1s to enjoy. We got the Shredders, who make awesome music. We have A3, which I co-own, which make animations.
And what else?
Screw Crew.
We also have. Yep. Do you want to attack Screw Crew,
yeah.
who make this podcast?
Amazingness.
And there are plenty more that I could probably mention if I had time, but some of the rest of them, I'm not saying anything offensive here. I mean, I'm all for group activities, but a lot of them, can be narrowed down to what we already have, and that is the discussion.
But if a couple of G1 want to hang out with, one full name and feel like they belong to a group, like, the Mega Man 2 Master Robots group, I think it's pretty awesome, even though they don't do really a lot of stuff, but, it's still pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not wailing on any of these clubs, I'm just saying that perhaps these clubs should open up a bit more and, do a few, competitions or activities or anything, within their clubs.
True.
To get more
But they get cool
morale.
Signs.
Definitely, yeah.
yeah, the signatures are quite cool.
Yeah, and then he also mentioned the caption game. Have you guys played that yet?
Oh, is that the one where they post a random picture and you have to come up with a caption for it? Yeah, I've played those on other forums.
Actually, this has been featured in last episode,
check
dude.
That out after this.
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah, it was. My bad. Well, then let's go. I didn't say caption game. What are you talking about? I was talking about rate your signature and avatar.
Oh. Oh, snap.
That thing is getting freaking big. There's it was like 1,000, 2,000 posts. Like 73 pages.
Yeah, and this one's this, It's a different one as well. There have been other ones. This is part 18, and it's already got 178 parts to it.
That's crazy.
So just imagine how many pages of stuff the other 18
I know, it's crazy, because, if you think about it, at least when I look at it, it's mostly, a lot of the same people going back and forth with, rating their stuff. It's pretty cool, though, because, You'll see a lot of people like, oh my gosh, that's so awesome, oh my god. Then you'll have some people who rate 1 out of 10 be like, I don't like Zelda or something like that. And then they'll be like, oh. That's a lot of fun, though.
Well, yeah, it's kind of fun, actually. If you were to post one in there, you'd be able to find out what the G1s think about your signature. I know a few people have rated mine 10s and some people have rated mine 1s because of my awesome Jose avatar, which
it's creepy actually.
Disturbing.
Well, just make sure
when you rate someone's, you actually describe what you don't like or do like about it, because it confuses people. I know.
That's the thing. If you haven't done it, you should probably do it once, because curiosity is gonna kill you. Curiosity is killing me. What do people think of my spinning hat and collage? So. And I put it in there, and yay, people like it.
Oh, I should put mine, even though my signature is pretty much jack shit.
Finally.
It's just a bunch of links to G1 Attack and 2 games you might not know, but yeah, I'll try it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, now, after that, we have, which is probably one of the best segments of all time. It's one of Ben's.
It is the best segment of all time.
It is
Ben's. Yeah, it is my...
Ben's patented interview. It's basically a household name by this point, right?
Yeah, man, it's already, yeah, French band interviews, actually, yeah, the biggest and best segment of the lot. I mean, actually, I'm pretty much saving the show, actually, you know, it would be like some of the lowest rated show on the internet if there wasn't the French band interviews. Enjoy this interview with Dante El Diablo. Next time, it would be even more awesome with, sorry Dante, but it would be even more awesome with Kane Kusanagi's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think one day if we really just get lazy and don't want to put out an episode, I'm just going to put a episode full of nothing but your interviews. And that'll be an episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, guys.
The French band special.
It's basically what people come here to see anyway, so.
Well, anyway, guys, here's Ben's interview with Dante El Diablo. Stay tuned.
It's time now for the segment you were all waiting for. Soon to be your favorite, heck, soon to be the best in the world, it's French band's interviews. Alright, so maybe you know this guy as the one on the quest to interview as much G1s as possible. His blog entries, get to know G1, is now a must around this crew blogs area. But what if the interviewer was being interviewed by your friend guy, Dante El Diablo? Welcome to the show.
Alright, thank you for having me.
Oh yeah, man, that's a pleasure actually. Alright, Dante, can I call you Dante?
You can call me Andrew if you'd like.
Well, I like Dante because, you know, that's your G1 name, you know?
Yeah, I get you.
Alright, tell us more about yourself.
Well, I was born and raised in Mildenhall, England. It's right outside of London, and right now I'm studying in pre-med to become a cardiologist, and I'm planning to open up a private practice with my best friend at the moment.
That's awesome, man. Alright, so what introduced you to Screwtech, Dante?
I saw a top 10, and then I was a fan of the ABGN, but I never knew he was part of Screwtech until I actually went to Screwtech.
Oh, man. So you've seen the top 10, like, featured on GT, right?
I actually saw it, like, floating around on YouTube. I guess someone uploaded it. It definitely wasn't Screwtech.
Oh, okay. Okay, I see what you mean. Man, there's too much guy, like, uploading just Screwtech stuff just to get hits on YouTube. That's so sad.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Dante El Diablo, why such a nickname?
Well, I was playing Guild Wars about 3 or 4 years ago. I guess that's when it came out, recall. But I was reading my Game Informer, and I just got finished playing Devil May Cry.
Oh.
So I put Dante with El Diablo, because that always sounds like a pretty cool name, and that's how I came to be.
Well, what is your favorite show on Screwtech?
Let me... Top 10s, just because it's kind of that... has the nostalgic factor, because brought me to Screwtech. Top 10s are really good, and Hard News is always funny, but it's a little different from everything else. That's another favorite of mine.
Yeah, by the way, what is your favorite top 10 so far then?
The Ho-Ho-Hos of gaming. I just thought that Ho-Ho-Hos.
Oh yeah, that was pretty funny. Yeah. Alright. Do you do anything else than playing video games and hanging around Screwtech?
I've been dabbling in video editing and directing. While I also, me and my brother, we remix old video game soundtracks.
Oh, that's cool, man.
And I like to draw, and I've been dabbling around photography as well, so.
Dude, you do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Alright, how did you come to the idea of interviewing so much G1s?
Well, I've never been to the forums. Until, like, I used to go to the forums, I browse around, but you can see I don't ever post. Well, and since everybody's been talking about how Screwtech has the best community, I wanted to spotlight who's been contributing and who is really someone that is part of Screwtech. So I just wanted to spotlight someone that's been contributing or just being a Screwtech.
I see what you mean, because, you know, that's also, you know, one of my goals with, like, the French band interviews, that it was, like, you know, for Pixel Dan, man, I love this guy so much, like, his videos and all that, and I was like, man, there's just too few guys who loves Pixel Dan, in my opinion. I want more. I want more people to know about the awesomeness that is from Pixels to Plastic and the awesome guy that is Pixel Dan. So, you know, that's what I'm trying to do with French band interviews. I want the G1s to hear how you sound and all that and think, man, this G1 seems like to be a nice guy. Maybe it's true that Screwtech is the best community in the world. You see what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I want to do as well.
Alright, so do you own a shitload of games?
I actually own a shitload of games. Most of my games are for my either the Nintendo 64 or the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Like
how many games? Around how many games do you have?
If I counted last, I think I'm missing about 30 to 40 in Nintendo 64 games. Whoa. Out of all of them.
That's cool.
And I have a bitch load of PS2 as well, because you could say I'm a PlayStation fanboy, but once, like, I got a Nintendo GameCube, I kind of become a Nintendo, and then now I'm, like, all around.
Yeah, I guess everybody owns, like, a shitload of PS2 games, because, you know, there's just so much games to buy on PS2. What is your favorite piece of game or movie collection you have?
I have a signed copy of Blade Runner.
A Blade Runner? By whom? Harrison Ford?
Yeah, that's right.
No way.
Yeah, my dad gave it to me as a Christmas present one year, so I guess that's probably my favorite movie piece.
For that, Dante El Diablo, you deserve a big fuck you, okay? Can you give me the name of a movie you can just watch a billion times in a row?
The Dark Knight. I've been discussing that a lot with people lately. I know you haven't seen it yet, but that's a great movie.
Don't want to hear about The Dark Knight. So that's your favorite movie right now? I mean, come on, it just came out. It can't be your favorite movie.
I've seen it 3 times.
Oh. Man. Okay, you know, I'm right off pace right now, so, you know, let's get rid of the interview as fast as I can. So now, guys, we're going for the best segment of the interview. Be prepared for...
What's your favorite?
If I ask you, like, what's your favorite X-Men, your answer is?
Wolverine.
Wolverine. Okay, everybody's favorite. Okay, so I want you to answer as quick as possible, okay?
Alright.
It can be fast-paced. Okay, favorite TV show?
24.
Favorite superhero?
Deadpool.
Favorite NES game?
Legend of Zelda.
Favorite Devil May Cry game?
The one with the bunch of boobs.
Which one is it?
Beach Volleyball, I guess.
Favorite game this year so far?
Call of Duty 4.
Okay. Favorite gaming system?
The Super Nintendo.
Favorite controller?
The Genesis.
Favorite old school cartoon?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on. That was
he likes happy. Chili dogs.
Yeah, what the f*** was that? That's so freaking stupid. I mean, have you ever seen a shit dogs in any of the Sonic games? Come on. Okay.
Still, it's just...
Favorite cartoon theme song?
Oh, Yu-Gi-Oh.
Come on, man. Are you... Man, it's just ridiculous. It's like the same loop over and over again.
There's that or Sonic Underground.
Sonic, man, I mean, is it some kind of joke? Sonic Underground?
they have the most retarded intros, that's why they're so funny, that's why I like them.
Yeah, okay, I agree with the retarded intro. Favorite Mega Man 2 Robot Master?
Oh, Blade Man?
There's no Blade Man in Mega Man 2, man.
I'm freaking noob, I don't even know them.
Oh god, just say Middle Man like everybody else.
Yeah, I guess Mega Man.
Favorite Star Wars movie?
1.
Episode 1 or A New Hope?
Episode 1.
Oh god, you're making a lot of enemies, man. Okay, favorite movie adapted from a video game?
The Street Fighter movie.
No way!
Yeah. I'm a big Street Fighter fan.
Yeah, but, you know, the movie is just...
It's
man,
retarded.
Yeah, it's so retarded. And it killed Raul Julia career, man. Come on. Okay. Favorite game soundtrack?
Legend of Zelda.
Oh, yeah, okay. I gotta agree with that. Okay, So, Dante, have you checked my videos around YouTube?
Have I?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Games You Don't Know segment are pretty damn sweet. That one's pretty... I watch that one a lot.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. So you watch, like, all the episodes or something like that? Or just the one featured at G1 Submission?
I've seen a lot of yours, and my favorite one would have to be the Dragon Ball one.
Thank you. Again, thank you, Ola. Okay, I have seen you asking this question, so here it is for you. What did you think of the live chat there was during the E3? You know the live chat rooms on ScrewAttack?
Oh, yeah. That was really funny, and my brother was being a douchebag, and he was Peter Poop. If anybody knows who that is, I guess Destin and Corey will know who that is. But if you hear this, my brother was Peter Poop.
Okay.
And I beat his ass for it. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay, if you want. Dante, what are your thoughts about the G1 attack so far?
This podcast, I like the way a lot of G1s are getting together and they're making ScrewAttack better and better every day.
Yeah.
And especially with G1 attack, at least people are making an effort to do something for ScrewAttack. Just like the A3 and Gamma Prime. And I guess there's going to be, like, I have a feeling there's going to be more and more people getting together and, like, having their own little communities inside of the community, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Little segments they do together. Man. And that's what I hope for.
That's going to be great, actually. I'm pretty excited about doing, you know, like, next episodes of G1 Attack every single week or 2 weeks, I don't know. Okay, so now, you know what? It's time for the best segment of this interview. Again, it's time for
Choose Your Destiny.
You have two possible choices each time, okay? Like The Simpsons or Family Guy.
Family Guy.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Once again, I want it to be quick. The Angry Video Game Nerd or Nostalgia Critic?
ABGN.
Captain N or Captain S?
Captain S.
Zelda or Metroid?
Zelda.
Devil May Cry or God of War?
Devil May Cry.
Street Fighter or King of Fighters?
Street Fighter.
Okay, the Masters of the Universe or the Thundercats?
Thundercats.
Free boobies or free video games?
Free video games.
Oh man, come on, be a man.
I have a girlfriend. There's no need for free boobies.
A new Tomb Raider... this one is tough, and I'm pretty proud of this one. A new Tomb Raider movie featuring a footlong Curry or live-action Mega Man movie featuring Jose El Mexicano?
The Mega Man movie.
Yeah, because you want to see Jose El Mexicano in blue tights, don't you?
I want that, and I want to have an arm cannon. That would just be epic.
Okay, Billy or Jimmy?
Jimmy.
Because he's red, right?
Yeah.
French Ben or that bastard, the Hyper Jerk?
French Ben.
Oh, thank you, man. And finally, ScrewAttack or free porno site?
ScrewAttack.
Oh, okay.
It's only a 30-second intro to a free porn site, so...
Okay, by the way, I said it one time and I repeat it. If only there was porn on ScrewAttack, then I wouldn't need another website, you know?
Yeah.
Because I could just spend my entire day around ScrewAttack. But well, enough about me. Okay, dude, now tell me, what are your plans for next week's month or years?
Well, after the summer, I'm going to finish up a lot of school. So that's what I'm planning on doing, and just sitting around on ScrewAttack and just building up not a fan base, but more of a just how to get everybody more active and stop all of the posts. Like what I hate a lot about with people in ScrewAttack, not like the community or anything, but I hate when people post a blog and it says, I'm related to a cockroach, or I don't like this game, where you should put time and thought into your blogs. And that's what I hope to do, like, to get people more, like, enthusiastic about their blogs instead of just wasting everybody's time.
Yeah, I agree with that, because if you want, listen to us, guys, if you want to post random craps, you have the forums for that, just to write random ideas, but blogs are not for that. Alright, take a long breath, because, I had a question before. I've read you're into jetpacks, so what is your best jetpacks in video game? In your opinion?
I'm looking forward to Dark Void. That jetpack is pretty cool. And if you've played Unreal Tournament 3, the jetpack mod is pretty cool in that.
Oh, I haven't played the jetpack mod, but I definitely know Unreal Tournament 3. Okay. Okay, so now it's time for the very, very and true best segment of the lot. And it's called...
Test Your Might.
You told me you were into Zelda, but are you really? You maybe can fool your grandma, but you won't fool French Ben. Are you just a Zelda fanboy wannabe, and that would be so pathetic, or are you hardcore? And it is going to be a true or false questionnaire, okay?
Alright.
Number 1. You can jump in Zelda Link's Awakening for the Game Boy.
True.
Right. 2. Twilight Princess is the direct sequel to the Ocarina of Time.
False.
Good. 3. There is 16 pieces of the Triforce to collect in the first Zelda title in total.
True. No, that's false. Yeah, it's false.
Are you sure? I meant in total.
Yeah. 2 pieces. 16. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's false.
Okay, you know there is a second quest in this game, dude?
Mm-hmm.
So you have more. So you have 8 extra pieces of Triforce to collect. Then we go to 416. Okay, but that was a trap. 4. The Korogus in Zelda: The Wind Waker are the descendants of humans.
False.
Old is Link in The Wind Waker.
10, 12.
Oh, you had to choose between 10 or 12, dude.
I say around, I think he's 12.
You're right, because in the game it's really stressed out that he's 12, okay? In which Zelda can you have a jump spell, a thunder spell, and a fire spell?
That is in Legend of Zelda 2 for the NES.
Alright, I mean, you just messed up like once, so I guess you're a real Zelda nerd. Dante, do you have any special comment to make about this interview, Screwattack, or whatever else?
All I have to say to everybody out there is if you like something, this is what Chef Protoss said as well, if you like something, support it. And, like, all people want that when they do their blogs is they want comments and ratings, they just want, like, some attention for how much time they put into everything. So if you just give people the recognition they deserve, that's all I'm asking for.
Alright, G1s, that was all for this week French Ben's interview. Stay tuned because G1Tech will work your face off in the next weeks with more interviews, reviews, featuring, and user-created content you can think of. Until then, remember your only last hope remains most of the time in doing a barrel roll. Dante, you know what you have to say now?
Do a barrel roll!
Awesome!
Introducing G1 Plays.
So G1 Plays is a top 10 or 5, and if it works as I plan it to, it should be on a weekly basis to go along with G1 Attack. So when you play online, moments like these often happens. You pull something ridiculous such as 2 kills with 1 bullet, a glitch happens, or a lag is incredible, or just anything else that is plain weird, awesome, amazing, whatever. So this top 10 will be about these moments. I want it to be mostly about your gaming skills or eliteness. But what's so great about this? Well, it's not just on one game, it's on every game possible, so anything that is impressive and gaming related is for this. A lot of people can be a part of this. nice commentary will be done over, and mostly, it's just something that ScrewAttack doesn't have and everybody can enjoy watching. If you still have trouble understanding, well, I'll give you an example. We know that Jose El Mexicano is a beast at Call of Duty 4. Well, at least that's what he's telling us. Other than the Puntos, we can't really see him in action. We know he's good, but we can't really see why he's that good. Well, now he can show it off. You just need to capture a few games, and you'll get at least one moment that is worth it to be on the top 10. For the ones who don't have the capture cards, but still want to participate in this, I have a few solutions up my sleeve. First, I can accept clips that you are filming the screen for. You don't need to have a capture card, just film the screen, it's alright. Second, for some games, you can save replays and share them. The big title for this is Halo Tree, so you just need to send your replays to someone who has a capture card. Third, you could still possibly play with someone who has a capture card online to show off something like a glitch. Why am I proposing the second and third solution? Because I will buy a capture card soon. For Halo 3 replays, send them to me over Xbox Live so I can edit the replays myself, please. My gamer tag is G1 space Dirk, or Dirk you as some would call me. For each clip you send me, please leave 15 seconds before and after the moment so I can judge if it's worth it. Well, I think I talked about everything. If you have a question, send me a PM on the forums. I'll make my best to answer you as soon as possible. Thank you.
Hey guys, welcome back. Now we're going into the other familiar part of our podcast, but instead of it being a debate, we decided we're going to move the debate of the coolest game character ever to next week because I had an idea. I had an idea that we're going to sort of rate it based on different aspects, different categories that's going to add up to points and it's going to make him the overall coolest character, which we're going to try to balance out because we know that Travis Touchdown hasn't been in as many games as Metal Gear Solid, or Solid Snake. But one thing we are going to do is we're going to put a poll up in the forums. We're going to have you guys, the G1s, vote on who you think is the coolest character. And please don't just post like Solid Snake because you guys think you know him, like, oh, he's cooler because you never played No More Heroes. Rent No More Heroes and, you know, play and see if you actually like him better. You never know.
Or at least look at him. Or look at videos. Hell.
Yeah, try to explain why.
Yeah, exactly. Try to explain why you like the person over the other person. I think that'll make it a little bit more fun and a little bit more fair.
Yeah.
So anyway, okay. Instead of a debate, we kind of have a discussion question, which something that I found interesting because I heard this interesting quote the other day. It basically went like this. Geek culture is becoming pop culture. And what I mean by this is that, like, with Hot Topic and stuff like that and, like, Comic-Con now becoming such a huge event, you're starting to see, like, you know, like, stuff like video games, comics, movies, internet references, all the type of stuff, kind of surfacing more so more people know about it. And you know you got the hybrids, the jock geeks and stuff like that, gamers and all the type of stuff. So do you guys think that this expansion is sullying what it once was? And do you think there's still a quote unquote hardcore group for these things?
Can I start over?
Huh? Can you start?
Can I start? Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Alright, well, my opinion about that is, you know, actually I watched a really interesting documentary about, you know, the geek culture and all that. It's called Suck My Geek. That's a pretty funny name. And actually, it was all about the fact that, yeah, the geek culture is becoming pop culture through movies and all that. I mean, The Dark Knight is such a huge hit, whereas, you know, Batman actually for big fat nerds. And actually, I think it's great because, you know, now the nerds aren't like real nerds. I mean, you can be nerds and have a girlfriend. You can be nerds and have friends in high school. I mean, it's not true for everyone else, but in some places it is. And because actually, yeah, people are getting interested in video games, etc. Because the nerds were here before on these media. The nerds were here before to say video game is an art form. And now it's becoming recognized. I mean, did you know that Shigeru Miyamoto was a Knight of Art and Literature here in France? It's been decorated. That's pretty awesome. And yeah, actually, that this is the point. I mean, the geek, it's not the geek culture that's becoming popular, it's the geek that brought their culture to the mainstream audience to finally, you know, prove the world that they were right. They are the king of the world because they knew in advance what would be great, and I think they still have a step beyond everybody. I mean, you know, when they are going to when the mainstream audience is going to watch Dark Knight, maybe the geeks have already a more geeky movie that's going to be like so popular in 30 years or something like that. And I think they always have, you know, a step beyond, just like with the internet and all that. So, you know, yeah, there will be still some hardcore nerds that will be one step beyond the mainstream audience, and I think it's great. You know, please guys, don't freak out if the Dark Knight is a huge hit, so it means that even your daddy can enjoy Batman movie, because it was part of the plan of being a nerd. It's finally proving that the stuff you like is the best thing in the world. I'm done.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true, actually. My view on the internet culture, well, the kind of internet culture that I revolve around is like internet memes, like the YouTube poops and you know, all this general stuff, yeah, that you see coming out of places like 4chan, like I'm firing my lasers and stuff. I'm constantly seeing people in my local area, people I, you know, went to school with, using these terms, but not actually understanding them. I mean, I go to this film club every now and then, and there's a few people who are obsessed with, the joke from the Zero Wing game for the Mega Drive, All your base are belong to us,
yeah.
Yeah, they are obsessed with it, yet they do not understand what it actually means. They just heard the song. So I had to explain to them half the way through. Yeah. So basically, people are using these terms a lot more, and it's sort of annoying because they don't know exactly what they mean. But it's not taking away anything from the hardcore, the people who actually hang around in places like 4chan, who go on to Habbo Hotel and raid the pools, as it were. These people constantly come up with new things.
Yeah.
So all these impersonators and all these hybrids will not catch up, I reckon. I think our internet culture's, you know, it's like a drain. New stuff goes in, old stuff goes to the bottom in the sewer with the hybrids.
Can I add something to that, actually? Because, you know, even if now, you know, the mainstream audience is like, you know, the angry video game nerd is pretty popular, whereas it's a really nerdy show. But man, you know, he's so popular, so it means that even people that don't know shit about video games actually like this guy. But the hardcore are already like watching 2-bit gamings or something like that, you know. Like, you know, yeah, because actually the geeks are producing so much in advance than the mainstream audience, that, you know, we already have something to come up with that's hardcore, when even something that was hardcore yesterday is now mainstream audience.
Yeah. Well, what's your take
I'm
on
sort
this,
of
Todd?
Like, I think I personally think it's a double-edged sword. I mean, in some aspects, you are right, it is allowing other people to enjoy it, which in a way is a good thing, because that means either that things that are hardcore and things like video games or more, you know, into the geek culture are going to be more acceptable or more accessible to people. So, you know, maybe you'll find more copies of Zero Wing than you would have before or something like that. But then at the same time, I do think that, like, especially, like, I'm taking this from a music background, like, you know, stuff like Straight Edge for Life, DIY or Die, punk rock, hardcore type of stuff like that. That stuff had, like, you know, if you associate yourself with that ideology or that thing, like, oh, I'm nothing but 8-bit gaming for life or something like that, that it once it becomes more popular, it feels less genuine. Like, you know, something that you associate yourself with as being so unique is, you know, starting to become either a product or just more seen, so then you feel it's less genuine. So I think that's a problem for people who see, like, All Your Base Are Belong to Us, or a prime example is my friend. He watched this really underground, like, a British comedy show, and they had this character called Old Greg. And he loved it, he showed it to me, I loved it, but then I said, hey, my theater class loves the hell out of it. He's like, well, then I can't like it anymore, because, you know, it's, like, spread all throughout the school, and now everyone's talking about it. So, You know, just for some people, it feels less genuine. But I do believe that there still is, like, a hardcore, like, I agree with that statement that they'll never catch up, because then you can just take it more to the extreme, which I think is overall a good thing, that it's progressing more so this further extreme can be, like, more acceptable. So, like, these people who are doing stuff that, like, you know, like, right now is not, like, is not considered, like, you know, pop culture, or not considered, you know, standard. It eventually will be, which will make some people sad, but then you can move on and making it a little bit more hardcore, let's say. I'm using that word a lot. And I think it's overall just going to keep on pushing it, so it's going to be more interesting, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you were to... it will be referred to as pop culture. I mean, it already is. Like, in any Wikipedia page, if it has something to do with pop culture references, most geek culture references are actually put in there as well, because Wikipedia finds it.
Wikipedia,
to be,
man,
in the same
the
area.
Most reliable source over the internet.
Well,
yeah. Well, I go there for my information for things like game release dates. They've been right so far. The only thing they've been wrong about I've seen is is about Screw Attack and Viacom. And also one thing that I had a gripe about the other day, because I'm an extreme nerd. On the page of Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker, they have a bit at the bottom that says that the pirate ship level on Super Smash Bros. Brawl is based on, is Tetra's pirate ship, which I tried to edit like 3 times, because it's obviously not. Because
nerd holler.
It's just a pirate ship. I'm
by the way,
a
speaking
nerd.
Of which, this is actually a subject I thought about talking about, but since we're kind of going in that subject anyway, since you know, we all consider ourselves big geeks and nerds, right? Whatever term you want to use. Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously that associates itself with comic books, video games, movies, etc. But what like is, do you guys have something geeky about you which is would not usually be considered in that group, like something that is not usually, like, you know, like a comic book or a movie obsession? It's like,
I mean,
I
drew a lot.
You what?
I drew a lot, you know, like last year I was drawing all the time and all that, and I draw my own stuff. It's very creative and all that. So, you know, I think that art is actually pretty close to being a geek, because it's being passionate, and because, you know, being a geek or a nerd is also being a lot passionate and all that, and having a lot of creativity. I think it's part of being a geek. So, you know, if when you go and come to create your own stuff and stories and all that, you're becoming creative, but you still are a huge nerd. So I think, you know, yeah, a lot of media and forms and, you know, forms of expressions and all that can be related to being a geek. So, well, I draw a lot. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I want some like action figures and figurines and stuff, but I can't because, you know, I don't have any income at the moment. So I just found some plasticine and I started making my own plasticine models. I mean, I got a Goomba, I've got two various things about Dynamite Heady, which is awesome. I just did the head of Trouble Bruin and Heady's head, which is sort of lopsided now because it's melting on top of my CRT screen. So yeah, basically I am a nerd. I've also got foam cutouts as well that I've made of certain things. So my screen is just covered in geeky crap.
What about you, Todd?
Basically.
I see, I've got a lot of things, like one thing sort of to the extreme. Like, first of all, I'm one of the few, I'm a history nerd. I love history. Like, I love covering and learning about history. Oh. I have a software and microphone fetish, basically. To where I have like 4 or 5 microphones, most of which I don't use. I just use this one that I'm recording on right now, but I love having microphones for some reason, and software, even if it's completely useless.
Wow.
Aside from that, this is gonna sound weird, but in a way, I'm also sort of a weightlifting geek, in the fact that I don't do it so I look good, I don't do it for a sport, I don't do it for, you know, any sort of, like, thing. I just do it for fun, and I do it a lot, so. And I have, like, a lot of equipment and stuff like that, so. I know, I guess it all stems to the fact, again, that doesn't sound very geeky, but the fact was, the whole reason I started, like, you know, get, like, lifting and, like, doing push-ups and stuff like that was because I watched Dragon Ball Z, and when I was young enough, I actually thought that if I did enough push-ups, I'd be able to shoot fireballs out of my hands.
Yeah!
I can relate. I didn't think... Well, when I watched it, I thought I could just do it if I wanted to, basically. And all my friends at school watched it. I mean, this was like when I was... Blah, 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 blah. I have no idea, actually. Yeah. Probably... I was in my first school, anyway. Primary. And we just used to do all these Dragon Ball Z play fights and stuff. Usually consisting of powerful moves like the Kamehameha or something. Yeah, the most overused thing ever. But mostly we'd just actually fight. We would get in trouble like every single week because of it. But no major injuries actually happened because we understood that it actually does hurt if you actually fight. But we did our own storylines and stuff. And I generally thought that, you know, if we just kept
everybody tried to do a Hadouken, you know, just on a tree to practice, and, you know, when no one is watching, something like that, you're like, you know, you can feel it, you're like, yeah, man, this time is the right time, and you fail miserably.
I know. It's weird, because, like, especially when I was younger, I was really into science, so then I started thinking about that, too, because I still had that thing where it's like, okay, I know some science, but I'm still, like, a stupid kid who thinks that a bunch of stuff is real. But I thought to myself, well, maybe if you work your muscles out so hard, you can get the temperature so hot that the atoms, like, in your hands will actually, like, collide and split, and that's what causes the energy to, like, shoot out of your hands.
Yeah.
I'm like, and now I listen to it goes back to that theory where if I had a time machine, I would go back in time and kick my ass for being a stupid kid.
Oh, yes. I mean, I would do that. In fact, I would do that like 2 years ago. I mean, looking back at what I looked like and what I did 2 years ago, I am a total piss face. I would go back in time 2 years just
doing,
to punch
man?
Myself
Crack
in the mouth and say, stop it. Stop it.
Oh, man.
No.
Yeah. I'm going back in time with you and kick your ass, too.
Hey, how about we all just get together, go back in time, and just kick Hyperdrick's ass?
Yeah! Man, let's freeze a
fan. 88 miles an hour.
But I don't know where to get a flux
capacitor. Let's freeze a fan, man. G1s, please donate to us so we can build a time machine and kick Hyperdrick's ass.
So?
Yeah. Screw giving Grandma Prime developer tools. Donate
everyone,
to our time
donate.
Machine.
Yeah.
I think it's appropriate now if for the sign off I just play go back to, back in time now. Yeah, I'm gonna play now.
All right, I guess it's time to say goodbye, guys.
I think it's time to sign off.
Bye bye.
So. Anyway, this has been Awkward Todd,
Friends Bam,
and the Sex Appeal Hyperjet.
Have a nice day, guys.
Yep, take care.
See you later next episode.